I'll call the meeting of the House Commerce and Regulatory Reform Committee to order. We have a quorum. Representative Barr, have you had a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting?
Yes.
Do you make
yes,
a?
Chair. Yes, Madam Chair. I move that we approve the minutes.
Thank you very much. So Representative Barr has moved the minutes. Is there any discussion before we approve them? With that, all those in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. First, we have Representative Loon up to present House File 30. And Representative Loon, thank you for presenting your bill before the committee today. Would you like to move House File 30 to be referred to the General Registry?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would.
Thank you. And Representative Loon, do you have the DE2 amendment? Is that your amendment?
I do, Madam Chair. I have. Should be in your packets. An author's amendment. It's H0030DE2. Okay. And I'd like to offer that at that time to get the bill in the shape I would like.
Okay. So, members, to get the bill in the shape the author would like, let's vote on the amendment now and focus both the questions and testimony to the bill as amended. Okay. All those in favor of the DE2 author's amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, so now the bill is in the shape of the author would like it. Representative Loon, please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Well, today is a topic that is familiar, I think, to most members. We've talked about it before, but addressing the issue of Sunday liquor sales. The bill, as amended before you today, would do a couple of things. First of all, it would authorize the sale of liquor, off-sale liquor, on Sundays in the state of Minnesota. It would limit the hours for those sales at retail establishments from 10 a.m. until 6 o'clock p.m. On Sunday. No change to the hours that exist in current statute for Monday through Saturday. It would provide a prohibition on delivery of alcohol to retailers by a carrier on Sundays. And this is something that, again, has been incorporated into some of the proposals that we've heard or voted on, perhaps on the House floor. And this is to address some concerns by those carriers and the people that work for them. And so that is incorporated into the amendment, which was just added to the bill as well. And finally, the effective date for this change in state law is proposed to be July 1st, 2017. You know, I won't belabor my reasons for offering this other than to say briefly, and I think you'll hear from testimony, that this is a change that consumers have been seeking and retailers have been seeking for a number of years in Minnesota. Since prohibition was lifted, we have continued to have a ban on the sale, off-sale alcohol in the state of Minnesota, and we're one of very few states, 12 states, that have that. And many of those states who are in that same designation are also efforts underway to change their state law. Shopping patterns have changed for many families and consumers. Sunday has become one of the most popular shopping days of the week, as people perhaps may have more time to run their errands, buy the things that they consume in their household and need to replenish. And I think that it's time that we have offered these options to them. I think it also should be made clear that not everyone has been for this, or probably still some who don't agree with the change. But it's important to note that this does not force anyone to either buy liquor or to sell liquor on Sunday. This is about offering the option in the law for retailers who choose to take advantage of this change in the law and consumers who wish to do so as well, who will no longer have to drive across the state border to any of one of the states that surrounds Minnesota that offers this option to them on Sundays. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would suspend any further remarks. I do have a couple of testifiers who wanted to offer remarks in support, and I think there may be some on the other side as well.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Loon. Members, if it's okay with you, let's go right to that testimony, and then we'll take some questions. So I'd like to call... Mr. Schmidt and Ms. Kramer, if you want to go ahead and come on up. And so Chair Hoppe has asked that total testimony be limited to no more than 15 minutes per side. So I just ask that you keep your remarks brief so we have time for questions. Okay. Welcome to the committee. Could you please state your name and the organization you're with for the record?
Thank you, Chairperson and Vice Chairperson Kelly Fenton and committee. My name is Andrew Schmidt. I'm with the Minnesota Beer Activists and Sunday Sales Minnesota. I'm a consumer and a lifelong resident of Minnesota, and I'm a big supporter of local business and local beer, and I would love to see this change happen in Minnesota so that I can shop when my retailers would like to sell me their products and when my busy family can find time to support their local products. We host a website, SundaySalesMN.org, and we've had close to 10,000 Minnesota voters sign up there saying they'd like to see this change happen, and hopefully can move forward that goal today and see that change happen. So thanks for taking the time to hear the bill.
Ms. Kramer, thank you. Welcome to the committee. Could you introduce yourself and the organization you're with? Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Tamara Kramer, and I'm a small business owner. The business is called Bon Place, and I have a store in Mall of America. Some people think because I'm located in the Mall of America that I'm not a mom and pop shop, but that's actually true. I'm a mom, daughter, granddaughter, and eight other great employees shop, and we were very proud of our business and the customers we serve and the quality products. And we, just like any mom and pop shop, we worry about being able to pay our bills. We're proud when our customers refer their friends to us, and we celebrate each and every like on our Facebook page. And I'm proud that I created 10 new jobs in 2014 after my position at large corporate businesses in Minnesota was eliminated twice in 20 years. And I also feel the responsibility of making sure my business is successful so that I don't have to downsize my employees, including my own family members, whose livelihood depend on Bon Place. So having the choice to be open on Sundays would be very positive for my business, as well as other small retailers in resort and tourist destinations all over Minnesota who don't agree with the historic MLBA position on this. Based on nearly 3 years of my own sales history, I believe that I could see up to a 10% increase in my annual sales, which would go a long ways to helping me sleep at night, helping my cash flow, and supporting my goal of opening up to 4 additional Bon Place shops in Minnesota, creating up to 40 additional jobs. So thanks for considering my perspective. I believe that businesses should not be forced to be open or closed on any day that doesn't make sense to them. I don't think the state of Minnesota needs to make those decisions for business owners. And if some stores can't sell enough on Sundays to cover their wages, their additional wages on Sundays, then they certainly should have the right to stay closed, just as I should have the right to meet my customers' demands on the days when they want to shop. And Representative Loon is right. I see it every day because I also have an oil, vinegar, and spice shop that can be open on Sundays. And it truly is frustrating and depressing when I have so many customers come into the oil and vinegar shop on Sundays asking why the liquor store is closed and they can't shop in there. So I believe liquor sales will increase in Minnesota as a result of Sunday sales, and that's a good thing for the state because and its citizens, because we'll be able to recapture sales that are going to our neighbors, and we'll be able to capture additional revenue from visitors to the state, and I think we'll even be able to capture some sales from those Minnesotans who didn't plan ahead. So thank you for allowing me to speak here today and considering this bill.
Thank you, Ms. Kramer, and thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Members, do we have any questions for our testifiers before we let them go? Nope. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and thank you so much for your testimony. We'll go ahead and let you step away, and I'd like to ask if there's anyone else that would like to testify in favor of House File 30. Seeing none. Next, we have up Mr. Chesick from the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association. If you would like to come on down. Mr. Chesick, welcome to the committee. Could you please introduce yourself for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair, thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tony Chesick. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, MLBA. By members of the people, the Minnesotans who own liquor stores and bars, they're small family-owned operated businesses and operate in every community in the state of Minnesota. As many of you know, the last time there was a Sunday sales hearing in this committee, five of these small business owners were here to testify, and more were in the audience. Today is different. We all understand what the outcome of the vote today is going to be, so I'm going to not going to spend time commenting on the legislation. Instead, I want to express some thought and concerns that these small business owners have as we go forward. First, irrespective to your views of this legislation, it is important for you to know that the current system of regulation of alcohol works well in the state of Minnesota. In Minnesota, we have unparalleled product availability and consumer choice. We have lower than average alcohol prices. We have lower rates of social problems related to alcohol abuse. Finally, we have a nationally recognized thriving craft local beer, wine, and spirits industry. Our system is smart and balanced. It works well. We urge you to continue to recognize the benefits that exist and resist disruptive changes that might upset the current balance that does exist. Next, experience in other states suggests that very soon grocery stores and other big box retailers, as well as convenience stores, who currently sell 3.2% beer, are likely to be at your doors urging you to allow them to sell beer at strengths greater than 3.2%. I want you to know that these stores currently are allowed to sell strong beer and wine and spirits. 127 grocery stores already have obtained licenses to sell alcohol in connected stores with separate entrances. These are full off-sale licenses. Target has recently retrofitted numerous stores with separate entrances to sell alcohol as well. And though there are fewer, some gas stations and convenience stores have also obtained liquor licenses and sell alcohol the same way. All this has occurred without changing of the law. It is clear that existing laws allow grocery stores and gas stations to obtain liquor licenses. The law does not need to be changed. Finally, we know that today the vote is not going to go our way, but if you remember one thing, I want you to remember that the current system has served us well. All I want, and I want all Minnesotans who own bars and liquor stores to know that the MLBA will continue to fight with little guy and gal, the family-owned businesses where the owner still goes to church in the community where they do business in, still contributes to school raffles, still is a member of the local service club, and still continues to sell alcohol in a safe and responsible manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chesick. Members, are there any questions for Mr. Chesick? Seeing none. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chesick. Next, we have Mr. Gary Fry. If you would like to come down, Mr. Fry. Mr. Fry, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Representative Fenton. My name is Gary Fry, and I speak today as a concerned citizen, and I would just like to share with the state representatives today why I believe we should say no to Sunday liquor sales. And possibly I view this from a different perspective. I've been a pastor now for 37 years, and I remember what Solomon said almost 3,000 years ago. He said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And I found that true in my own life as a young person. I grew up in Northeast Ohio, not too far from Akron, Ohio. And in 1970, you were able to buy 3.2 beer legally. I was the first of my friends that could buy 3.2 beer. So we would drive into the farmer's market on a Friday night, open our trunk, and say, give us two or three cases of beer, please. I was the big guy among my friends because I was the one that was 18. No one else was going to be 18 till February, March, or April. So I was the big shot in my crowd. And I can remember many days, many evenings coming home and thinking, didn't I have fun? And about 3 in the morning, I rushed to the restroom and I thought, I'm not having so much fun right now as I did earlier in the evening. So in my own life, alcohol ruined my life. And as a pastor now for 37 years, I could share some stories with you, but I'm going to share you one story about a young boy in Bagley, Minnesota. This happened probably 2007, 2008, and he's a 15-year-old boy. Him and his friends were going to go out that night. Unbeknownst to their parents, someone over 21 had bought them alcohol. They bought them whiskey, vodka, etc., etc. And about 1 or 2 in the morning, this young boy came home with his friends. And they said, see you later, Joe. And he got out of his car, out of their car, and he went to go in his house. And his friends drove away. And rather than going in his house, he went and laid down next to his house, out in the cold, in January, in Bagley, Minnesota, 100 miles from the Canadian border. The next morning, his parents woke up, went to look in Joe's room. Joe was not there. And they thought, I wonder where Joe is. So they called his friends. Well, we left Joe off last night about 1 or 2 in the morning. They looked through the house, couldn't find him. They went outside, found him lying in a snowbank. They took him to the hospital. They brought the helicopter in to Bagley, took him to Grand Forks. The parents went over there. By the end of the day, this 15-year-old boy was dead. So I would urge you to vote no, just on moral grounds. But secondly, I'd urge you to vote no because alcohol is destructive. I turned the news on the other night, and a man in Howard Lake was driving down the road, and he ran over a pedestrian. And as they investigated, they found out that the man was driving under the influence. So we know, just from our own, from our own news media, that alcohol is a destructive thing. How many work days have been missed because of alcohol? How many millions of dollars does it cost for these companies because of people of alcohol? Families are ruined because of alcohol. And I could sit here for probably hours and share with you as a pastor the families that I know that have been ruined because of alcohol. And finally, I'm just going to say we try to follow up on what's going on in our legislature. And during the summer and during the fall, there was a group called the Legislative Task Force on Child Protection who met. Some of you know that. Representative Crecia and Senator Sharon were the leaders of this. And they were talking about, I didn't realize what was going on. I asked one of the senators, I'm like, why do we have to have a task force on child protection? And the senator sort of took me aside and she said, because parents are killing their children. And I remember my kids now are 40 and 41. I never wanted to kill them, but I wanted to spank them quite often as they were growing up. And I thought to myself, how could you kill your children? They brought all these people in from the BCA, the Child and Family Services, and they were talking and talking and trying to figure this out. One of the experts finally got up, and they said, why are parents killing their children? And this expert said, two reasons. The parents are either high on drugs or they're high on alcohol. So I would urge you, please vote no for this. It really is a common sense thing. I don't think it's a Republican thing or a Democrat thing. I think it's a common sense thing. If this much destruction is being caused in 6 days, just think what 7 days is going to do. And I would respectfully ask you to please vote no on Sunday liquor sales. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. Members, are there any questions for Mr. Fry? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Fry. Finally, we have Mr. Rockler. Mr. Rockler, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman Fenton and members of the committee. My name is Ken Rockler. I reside in St. Paul, and I'm here representing the Tavern League and actually a lot more retailers than belong to the Tavern League. There's been a lot of talk about what will happen with Sunday sales. We don't really need to have any conjecture. The most recent state of which there's any real records on this is Colorado. And they went about 7 years ago. I did not have a chance to talk to Gene McAvoy, the executive director of their Licensed Beverage Association there. But when they went with Sunday liquor there, here were the results. The amount of increased sales were barely measurable. But they lost between 8 and 10% of their package stores. Why did they do that? Well, they were mostly ma and pa's. Didn't want to stay open on Sundays. Did the law say they had to stay open? No. But if you've got three liquor stores, A, B, and C, and one of them decides to stay open, even some of the regular customers that normally had gone to the other two are going to say, well, you know, I can just stop in there on Sunday. Is there anything evil about it? No, but it's not very practical. How many of you are going tonight at 9 o'clock tonight to have your teeth cleaned, or this Sunday? Probably none of you. Is there a demand for it? Sure, there's all kinds of people that work hard hours and would like to be able to go late on at night, but it's not practical for those businesses. They're going to do the same amount of business, roughly. There are some differences depending on the geographic locale and the type of liquor store that's there. They're going to do about the same amount of business in 7 days that they're now doing in 6 days. So you can see why the liquor industry itself doesn't like it. I'm not anti-liquor, obviously. I represent liquor licenses. I know there's a lot of talk about this being a free market issue and getting rid of blue laws. I have to say that I think our industry is being picked on to a certain extent. I have not found most people that are opposed to Sunday liquor. I'll say that most of my friends, until I get a chance to explain our side of it, most of them say, yeah, we'd like to be able occasionally be able to get a bottle of wine or something on a Sunday. But I've had nobody tell me that they understand why they won't be able to go to a car dealership on Sunday. I guess if we're going to do this, let's go all the way would be one of my comments on that. I don't think we should, because I think the car dealerships face the same problem as we in the liquor business do. Why has the liquor business been accepted on some of these things? Well, ever since Prohibition, whether it be the Webb Kenyon Act or various other state and local laws, when you need money for a stadium, you don't go to the candy store and say we're going to add an additional 3%. You don't go to the clothing store and say we're going to tack on 3%. You go to the alcohol industry and say you're going to tack on 3% or 5%. Alcohol has always been treated differently in that way because it is a regulated industry. So I would urge you not to rush into this. I think, as Mr. Chesick said, we all know that there's a lot of power behind this year, but I don't think the overall good is there for the public. I really don't. I would stand for any questions if you have any. I appreciate the opportunity that you gave me to speak before you.
Thank you, Mr. Rockler. Members, do you have any questions for Mr. Rockler? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else who would also like to testify on House File 30 as amended? Seeing none, members, we have questions now for Representative Loon. Representative Halverson?
Thank you. And Representative Bloom, thanks for bringing the amendment. I think that this issue has been ripe for compromise for years, and I appreciate your willingness to compromise about it. I worked for mom and pop in the, on a border store, put myself through college, and, you know, pop gave me our, my Christmas bonus and you know, made sure that I was well cared for as an employee, as he did with all of his employees. He was, you know, president of the Rotary, and he made sure that our business was providing donations to local charities, and he was showing up throughout our community. And the same holds true for the businesses, small businesses in my community. And so when they have shared their concerns, I've taken them very, very seriously. Minnesota's been very unique, and the testifier was right, that we have more choices when it comes to who we buy wine, beer, spirits from than about any other state in the country because of the way that we have asked businesses to compete. And we've got small businesses who are competing with big box stores. And so I do think that the compromise is a good one, and I appreciate it, and I am inclined to support it. However, I want to say to everybody watching, and I want to say to everybody in this room, when you have the opportunity, if Minnesota does make this change, and you've got the opportunity to go shopping on a Sunday, I want you to be sure that you aren't driving by your small businesses. Don't drive by your mom and pops. Don't leave our small businesses behind because they are the backbone. And I've said this before, liquor stores are kind of the last mom and pop, last Main Street retail businesses that there are. It's tough to compete against big boxes, but our mom and pops have done it, and I want to be sure that we are doing everything we can to continue to protect small businesses. So I encourage you to support your local small businesses, and I really encourage us to take small, slow steps, as we were asked by an earlier testifier, when it comes to changing Minnesota liquor law. We've got a good business model, and we want to keep it that way.
Thank you, Representative Halverson. Any comments to that, Representative Loon?
This time.
Representative Slocum.
This has been so peaceful, and I am usually not real snarky. I'm going to get a little snarky. I'm also supporting this. Gosh, it's deer in the headlights over there. I didn't know that was so... I'm usually pretty nice about things, and I try to be. But I find it intriguing and ironic that we have Minnesotans who are in desperate need of relief for health care. And we talked about health care, you know, the other day, and it hasn't been delivered. It could have been. It could have been delivered. With their medical insurance. And instead, we're here putzing around with Sunday liquor sales. Rather than delivering that relief, which really I've heard numerous stories about mom-and-pop shops, but also about the mom-and-pop shops that can't buy insurance for their employees. And so they're on the individual market. The rack up is huge, and we need to deliver relief immediately. And I don't think there's anybody in the room here, either side of the aisle, that doesn't think Doubt Care needs some work. So I'm voting in the affirmative today, and I'm glad to get this issue behind us. But again, I want to just say again what Lori, the representative said over here, that don't drive by mom and pop shops. Stop in. That's a good place to buy your home wrecker. That's a good place. You don't know what a home wrecker is, do you? Come on.
What bill are we on?
We are discussing Sunday sales. Stop by mom and pop. Stop by mom and pops. Or stop by your Muni liquor. In Richfield, we have municipal liquor. Funds our parks. We got great parks. So I'm voting in the affirmative. I would urge you to do it. Let's get this behind us and get to the issues that really affect people's lives, like the insurance issue.
Thank you, Representative Slocum. Before I give it to Representative Loon for her final comments, are there any other questions? With that, Representative Loon, would you like to make some closing comments?
Just very briefly, just want to thank the committee. We've heard this issue a number of times. I think concerns about speed with which this might be moving. Honestly, this is my fourth year of carrying a Sunday sales bill, and we've talked about it a lot. So I want to thank the MLBA and that for bringing forward some suggestions on the bill, which I'm happy to incorporate. I think they make sense. I have municipal liquor stores in my area, and also I'm a big supporter of small business. So I would echo the comments of those made that we should continue to support our local businesses, and I think they will all be, I think, in a position, those who choose to receive customers on Sunday, and will continue to support their existence as we have. Minnesota prides itself on having a vibrant business community, and we want to continue to have that be the case, and I think this will be a step forward for consumers and business. So with that, I thank the committee, and I hope that hopefully this proposal can move forward without much fanfare in a very bipartisan manner.
Thank you, Representative Loon. And one final, Representative Applebaum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would like to request for a roll call on this vote.
Okay, so thank you. Roll call has been called. So there being no further discussion, Representative Loon renews her motion for House File 30 as amended to be re-referred to the General Register. With that, we'll take a roll call.
Chair Hoppe.
Aye.
Representative Fenton.
Aye.
Representative Allen.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Applebaum.
No.
Representative Barr.
Aye.
Representative Davids.
No.
Representative Franzen. Representative Halverson.
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Kreisha.
Aye.
Representative Loon.
Yes.
Representative Loon.
Aye.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative O'Driscoll is absent. Representative Pinto.
Aye.
Representative Rosenthal.
Aye.
Representative Slocum.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Swidzinski.
No.
Okay, there being 15 ayes and 4 nays, motion prevails. Congratulations, Representative Loon. Your bill is on its way to the General Register. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Next up, we have Representative Hoppe with House File 68. Representative Hoppe, would you like to move House File 68?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move House File 68 and House File 68 and recommend that it be referred to the General Register.
Thank you. Mr. Hoppe, Representative Hoppe, if you'd like to explain your bill.
Sure. It is a very simple bill that was here. There's not really an urgency for it. We don't have a Senate companion yet. We will. It's a non-controversial bill. I'm not aware of any opposition. Right now in the state of Minnesota, you have to have on either the top or the bottom of 3-2 beverage dispensers, cans, you have to have the designation 3-2. This would just simply say that it's okay to have it on the side as you can currently do on bottles. And that's the whole bill.
Okay.
I would stand for any questions and be happy to answer those and appreciate your support.
And Representative, you have a Representative Hoppe,
nope.
You have a testifier?
Just in case I get in trouble on this difficult bill.
Members, are there any questions on House File 68? Seeing none, Representative Hoppe, any closing remarks before?
No, Madam Chair, I feel a little bit bad for Representative Loon that she had to wait for all the cameras to get it set up for this bill. But with that, I would appreciate member support.
Okay, so is there anybody else who'd like to testify for or against House File 68? Seeing none, Representative Johnson, did you have a question? No? Okay. Seeing none, with that, all those in favor of House File 68, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. House File 68 will now be referred to the General Register. Thank you, members. With there being no further business, the committee is adjourned.